This is Measuring Patient Satisfaction with Hospitalists, and on behalf of my colleagues, Brett, can you hear me? Brad Fulton and Chris Morgan, I am Bob Lawson, and we're going to talk about the development of a patient satisfaction survey and some initial findings from what we've done. So this is my disclosure, and it also applies to my colleagues. The following personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation existed within the past 12 months. I am employed by Prescani Associates, as are Brad and Chris. So we have a wide range of experience with hospitalists and hospital medicine, but hospital medicine or hospitalist as a subspecialty of medicine has grown very rapidly of late, because primary care physicians have basically, in many, many parts of the country, abandoned their hospital practices. They find that it's more efficient, more convenient, and in particular makes them more money to stay in their offices on Main Street and see patients, however many patients they can, rather than to interrupt their office hours and go to the hospital, which might be on 3rd Street, and make rounds on patients in the hospital and then go back to Main Street and see their own patients for the rest of the day. So that between that and the fact that residents are demanding rights as persons and not just as, you know, widgets in a machine, and demanding that there are limits on their hospital hours, their work hours, this has created a demand within hospitals for qualified medical personnel who can take care of sick patients. So the hospitalist role is becoming essential, and that's, I've already told you about the reduced presence of family and GPs. Hospitalist's role as a link to the hospitalized patient's primary care physician has come to the fore. They are also links to patient safety. They are given the role of trying to coordinate the care of the patient while he or she is in the hospital. Let's see, what else can I say about that? At the same time, patient satisfaction has become, it's not becoming, it has become a key quality indicator. You hardly can go to a medical encounter without expecting to have a survey sent to you by mail or email or even telephone or whatever, asking you about the experience, so on and so forth. A few years ago, the federal government got into the act by introducing what is known as the CAPS, a series of products, Consumer Assessment of Health Providers and Systems, CAPS. And there are several sub-varieties of CAPS. There's a hospital CAPS and an ambulatory surgery CAPS and a this, that, and the next thing, and, you know, blue CAPS and green CAPS, okay? But it's all got to do with how consumers evaluate their care. And then these evaluations are posted on a website, so you can go to Hospital Compare, and you can actually see, you know, for Memorial versus St. Joe versus Methodist or whatever, exactly how they stack up on these various criteria. So that has kind of given the patient satisfaction business a big boost as well. So it was not at all unusual that we would be asked to develop a new patient satisfaction instrument tailored to the hospitalist role. And I, just as context, my company is a survey measurement healthcare consulting company. We are big. We have many, many different products across the spectrum of healthcare. And we have, for many years, an inpatient satisfaction product, such that if you were, you know, God forbid, you're hospitalized and you go get through the treatment, you might, if your hospital is one of our clients, they may or may not send us your name. They should, and then we randomly select from all the names they send us their discharges, and we send surveys. And so for many years we've had this inpatient survey. It contains items about physician care. But this because of the hospitals, because of the trends that I just outlined, there was a demand for a special hospitalist version, if you will, of a patient satisfaction survey. And I think this young lady's experience with the hospitalist, which was not very happy, perhaps there was, you know, being treated by a stranger, if you will, perhaps contributed to some of the, you know, really unsatisfactory aspects of the care. And so hospitalists have this sort of built-in hurdle, if you will, to get over. Some do it more successfully. Apparently some less. Okay. So we were asked to do that. And then we have sort of a standard way of going about survey development. We round up the usual suspects, as they say in the bogey flicks. We create focus groups. We get providers. We get administrators. We get them to, you know, tell us what's going on and what's important and what do you think matters to patients. And we, you know, get them to write down, well, how do you think we can measure this and this, that, and the next thing. And we determine, well, how would you like to see the reports, so on and so forth. And then these were some of the issues that we discovered were important to these folks that we gathered. Time, concern for patients, explanations, the clarity and timeliness. Because there's no pre-existing relationship, that we don't go into an encounter with a hospitalist with that ease of communication that you might have with your own primary care physician that perhaps you've been seeing for, you know, a few years or even several years. You kind of, you know what to expect from him or her, and he knows or she knows what to expect from you. And so there's a kind of an ease of communication, and it's, you develop a little system where you kind of, what's unsaid is just as important as what is said. In any event, explanations are very important, interactions with the family, and then discharge preparation apparently is a big deal as well. Okay, so the sort of some technical issues that we had to face was that we had to include photos on our survey form so that a patient, when he or she gets this survey about the, you know, presumably about somebody that they have seen in the hospital or that has seen them, will be able to say, oh, yeah, that's the dude. Yeah, that's the one. Okay, for better or worse, that's the one. And the ability for the patient to rate multiple hospitalists so that because often they team up and there are, you know, there's more than one hospitalist involved in any care episode. And also reporting at each provider is a hospitalist is a provider, so reporting on them so that their folks can tell them where they shine and where they might work on improving how they come across. So we identified 10 items. We pilot tested them in 5 hospitals. We had the N that you see, and by now we have a very standardized way of analyzing data from a pretest of a survey instrument. Excuse me. And we sort of go through how each of the items performed with respect to these measures, and we sort of prune it down to the a kind of a concise, internally consistent, high reliability, presumably high validity set of items, and that's what we came up with. 8 items. We eliminated them, a couple of items for psychometric reasons, and when we tested this with the existing physician items from our inpatient survey. I just told you about the inpatient survey in the physician section. When we tested them kind of simultaneously, it came up with, the factor analysis came up with 2 distinct factors, one for the hospitalist questions, the other for the inpatient physician questions. So we've got good predictive validity, and we've got decent explanation of variation in the patient overall rating of the hospitalist. So, and those are 2 criteria that we use. Here are some numbers that at Press Ganey we call these geeky, geeky numbers, because it's only the folks who are really love psychometrics can get into this kind of thing. But if you like it, there it is, and I'm here to tell you that they're good. I mean, they're fine. It's a good test. The test, we tested it for reading level, ninth grade. When the word hospitalist is replaced with doctor, it drops it down to the fifth grade, right? The hospital, because the Flesch Kincaid counts syllables, it sort of jacks it up a little bit artificially. So it's pretty easily read. We have a definition of the hospitalist included in the section just before the items to ensure the readability of the survey and its interpretability. So here's our friendly hospital smiling at you. Dr. Smith, and these are the instructions. Please rate the services you receive from our facility. Mark the response that best describes your experience. The question does not apply to you. They skip to the next. Space is provided, blah, blah, blah. Hospitalist. A hospitalist is a doctor who focuses on your general medical care while you are in the hospital. This is not, underscored, bold, not your regular doctor that you see for routine checkups. So we're trying to make it very clear who it is the patient is rating. And then there's the doctor. Dr. Smith, smiling out at you. And then the patients are asked to rate the care that they receive from that identified physician on those eight attributes. Okay, you with me? Time, friendliness, concern for questions, kept informed, information, clear explanations, informative in family, dealings with family, prepared to go home, and then kind of an opinion of an overall skill rating, okay? And then some room for comments. So here are some descriptive statistics. The ones in red are the ones that are lower on average than the others. So you can see that friendliness, courtesy is at the top of the list. Ratings of skill are pretty high. That's second to the bottom. Concern for questions and worries, how things explained, etc. And this is where hospitalists seem to fall down a little bit. And it's no different from other physicians. The time spent keeping patients informed and helping people prepare for discharge and prepare for home. And these are things that we have found wanting, if you will, in physician care in other settings as well. So that's not a surprise. So I am about to wind up, but just to say that the hospitalist survey is currently in use by over 40 hospitals. 700 individual, both hospital contracted, hospital employed and contracted physicians contracted through a group are in our database. Most of them are in those primary care specialties. And just as a technical note, because of HCAHPS demands to be the first in line for any survey for an inpatient. You've got to do that first. After that, and after a patient has had a chance to complete that or whatever, a survey firm can send something else. And so we wait until they've had an HCAHPS survey sent, returned, sent again, if not returned, again, an appropriate amount of time. And then we send a hospital survey. We get about a 25% return rate, roughly, for the whole